Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Westchester on the Level with your host, Hezzy Eris.
Good morning, everybody. It's Monday, June 27th. It's 10 o'clock on the Eastern Seaboard. And thankfully, because it is Monday, we have John Bailey, the White Plains Citizenette reporter and publisher, on the line. So good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning from White Plains, New York, USA. Really, a cloudy, overcast day after a beautiful, steamy weekend.
Yeah, and I hear it's going to be really coming down heavy rain in the day, so we're going to have to see where that goes.
Probably there will be an emergency alert from Governor Hochul that it's going to rain.
Yeah, probably. Well, I wanted to ask you about a couple of things that have transpired, which is really interesting. One thing is the governor said that she will do everything in her power to protect New Yorkers, particularly against white supremacists who conducted the terror in Buffalo. And also she's going to come up with a 10-bill package preventing those under the age of 21 from purchasing semi-automatic guns. And she's going to expand the red flag law and so on and so forth. That's really phenomenal that she's going that far. And I didn't realize that as a state, we can govern within the state, even if the rest of the nation is going in another direction.
Well,
so you probably know about it. I didn't.
The Supreme Court decision actually said Friday that
yes,
we are returned to the states' rights era of before the Civil War.
Yeah, which is absolutely amazing. So I guess you know, I was very afraid that after we would find out a little bit more about the insurrection, and it's blowing my mind because I never realized how bad it really was, even though I was not oblivious to what was going on. It was just hard to tell what was going on behind the scenes because you didn't get all this information and people didn't corroborate this, that, or the other. But what's really mind-blowing is that we're going to split apart. We're not going to be a United States. We're not going to be one nation under God, indivisible. We're just going to be little fiefdoms. There'll be Texas, the state of Texas. No, it'll be the nation
Holy Roman Empire.
The nation of Florida. What?
Yeah. Like the Holy Roman Empire.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
What is unfortunate
is... We can't survive
is,
like that, can we?
Yeah.
It will take us 50 years just to catch up with ourselves. I mean, revitalize, jumpstart the economy from nothing. Is Texas going to be able to do that, or California, or even New York?
No, in fact, what's interesting is that there was talk that Texas should secede last week, but of course they
yes,
can't because they are going to need economic aid.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I don't want to
have
pay
a,
them.
Yeah.
To secede.
No, and
go
then,
secede on your own if you want to leave. Goodbye and good riddance. Who needs you?
Texas needs New York money. That's my point.
That's exactly right.
New York and California support the rest of the country with our taxes. Well, you know, I'm over
exactly. So let them leave.
Yes.
Let them leave.
And,
I don't care. I'll be happy if they leave.
But I, on the other hand, I do not feel we are going to be in a civil war in the least, because with the amount of traffic around the New York metropolitan area, they're not going to be able to get through it.
What do you mean?
They can't launch an attack on New York State because the traffic is so backed up getting into it.
Oh, yeah, well, that's...
Or out of it.
You know, okay, I understand that that's possible, but I'm not concerned
about New York State.
They don't have the
weaponry. You know,
they don't
have it. It's poppycock.
But that's not the
and
issue. The point is if they want to leave, they can leave. Who needs them? They're a burden on our society here. You know, they're going to get rid of everything that we believe in.
Yeah.
You know, they're getting rid of abortions. why after all these years, and the women are silent. They're not really raising hell. And the men also are affected by this. And I don't know why we're being quiet as men. And,
well, here's the thing.
And there are
other issues. Yeah. Here's the thing. Men have got to realize that they have to have sex wearing a condom.
The problem is that quite often women don't want you to wear a condom. And sometimes the men urge them to do that, and that's what happened.
Well,
and you know what? In a time of passion, does everybody do the right thing necessarily? I don't think so. And that's the problem. And it's going to change all kinds of things. Look, they're doing the abortion thing. That's already expunged. They're going after gay rights. That's going to be expunged. Everything that you look at is going to be thrown out the door. And this is all because we've got a very conservative court. And I find it frightening that the court has become politicized, and the organ of government that undermined and destroyed the nation's comfort zone all these years has been the Supreme Court. Is that amazing or what? 8 people, and they voted, and now everybody's scared out of their mind, and they don't know if they have rights.
Well, I think the answer is really being smart. Women cannot have unprotected sex. That will take care of the abortion of the pregnancies taken care of because they were just weren't careful. It won't, of course, help the persons that are impregnated on rape or incest, but there has to be some way of them attaining an abortion
but
in those circumstances.
There isn't.
Well, just
that's
have to travel, or there should be aid.
But they don't have the money. Don't you understand? So many people who
can't even afford to buy
a condom.
I do understand that perfectly. This ruling is aimed by the conservatives on the Supreme Court as to maintaining white supremacy. This is no longer the Supreme Court. It is the U.S. Supremacist Court.
Absolutely. That's very well said.
And, yeah, and I mean, that's what it's all about. It's a maintaining white power for a declining white population. Why? Because they are not reestablishing themselves. Not enough of them are having children.
Well, they probably can't afford to raise the kids either.
True. I mean, but the abortion thing is something that unfortunately now is no longer available as a remedy, but the attacks on pharmaceuticals that we perform abortions are coming, and that is a major thing because that is a business, and we will see if they have the pluck to do that. Take on the pharmaceuticals. They couldn't stop the pharmaceuticals making fentanyl, could they? Still have it.
No.
And so therefore, it is
well,
a
they do have
big problem.
They have medicines. They have medicines that you can get where you can abort by taking the pills. I think you could take it up to 2 weeks after you become impregnated, but most people don't even know that they're pregnant within the first 2 weeks. But supposedly you could use these pills even longer, but then there are other complications because of it. It could be very, very dangerous for the women.
You know? And the other matter is birth control, whereby you are prevented from ovulating. Will they take that? That is a major business in the pharmaceutical field, birth control
yeah.
pills. And that happens, this will be a big problem because the pregnancies will definitely increase. But this is the stuff down the road that is really going to be dangerous, because if there is adequate education facilities like Planned Parenthood provides,
mm-hmm.
people might know a little bit more about how not to get pregnant. And not that they
can we've been talking about
that
for years,
that.
But people
yeah.
don't know how they get pregnant.
Yeah, well, I think this goes right to the heart of the schools. The schools have to do a better job of educating.
Yeah, but now they don't want to talk about sex in school. God forbid somebody's gay.
God forbid we
you know,
have there,
and that's
there are too few white people now. We need more white people. But
to do what? To have sex?
Well, that's right. They don't.
Well, I don't know.
They
I don't
only
know what white people do. I'm 72 years old. I don't know what white people do of sexual age. I don't know what you do as a teenager now, but I think it's very frightening where we've come. I remember when I was growing up, my dad took me to the side and explained to me what my responsibilities was as a guy, and how I have to treat women, and also to be careful if I was going to be involved in sexual intercourse, and all kinds of things like that. So I got it straight from mom and dad. So,
well,
you know.
You were fortunate.
I was.
Not too many of them. Not too many parents have that ability to talk about it. And there are so many fragmented marriages today where the people do not get along. And, you know, this is a part of the problems that today, and the media have, for the last 50 years, promulgated this notion of spontaneous sex, instantaneous attraction, and instantaneous couplings in offices, and, you know, they hardly know each other, and they fall into bed, and this is a false indicator of how relationships begin. It's false.
Well,
it's a Hollywood
is
fantasy.
A false indicator.
Yeah, it's a Hollywood fantasy made by the vast number of perverted directors who make movies about violence and violence towards women, and they titillate the public, no pun intended. And this is what entertainment has become.
Will we be able to change that attitude? You know, men are responsible for the deed as well as women. So, you know, how are men going to – I don't even know what men think about when it comes to, you know, relations with a woman. And if they care if they wear a condom or they don't, you hear all kinds of situations where...
If you care about yourself as a man, you don't want to get into a situation where you make a woman pregnant and then she wants you to support that baby and maybe you don't want to. And you disavow responsibility. That happens a lot. Look at the cases against fathers who won't pay child support.
Yeah.
They're not responsible. They just see women as sexual objects. What I want you, so I'm going to have you. This is the whole you too philosophy of so many people. So many men and women in power and business.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Remember, there were some people that they were preying on young girls, particularly in the movie industry. These were unbelievable guys, and they got away with it because they had so much money.
And, yes, the moguls of the 30s were hideous people.
Yeah, well,
and
they're the same moguls in the 70s and 80s and 90s.
Yeah. Most of the actresses were turned into self-hating people. They hated themselves because what they had to do. Once you do something you know is wrong because you were weak and you wanted to improve your career, you regret that forever.
Probably the rest of your life.
Yes, you do.
Yeah,
and,
I don't think you outgrow that.
Overlook.
And everybody will know your story, even if they don't tell you that they know it.
Right. You know, it's
is there an interest, do you think, of telling men what their responsibility is? What are men going to
do,
for example,
if there's no
relationship
of men
between...
is to treat women with respect at all times.
We're not teaching
the best
that
model
either.
The best model for how to treat women were the Gene Autry movies.
That's true.
He really promoted that idea of respect for women in the way they were treated in his movies. And he was one of the great artists because he had something called the Cowboy's Code of Conduct, which listed 10
mm-hmm.
things a cowboy had to respect and do.
Always,
and one of them was always have respect for women and children and animals.
Yeah,
I mean, the code is so simple. And but
people don't know it even. They don't even know of the code, John. That's the thing that's frightening. Nobody's teaching us what we need to know. And I guess to some extent we have to fault our parents if they didn't tell us. And we also have to fault our educational system that doesn't teach. And now everybody's scared to talk about sex in school, and yet there are kids that are doing who knows what at the men's bathroom and at the girls' bathrooms. This is going on. Even the teachers and the principals, they're doing their thing, and they don't report about it.
Well,
it's
the way colleges
the
have handled way colleges have handled accusations of sexual assault on campus and off has been disgraceful. I mean, you have major colleges, Michigan and Michigan State, both having kept people on faculties for years that were molesting women athletes. They were.
Yes, they
and,
were. And they had to know.
It has
you
forever
can't tell me they didn't know.
Changed my mind about those two schools. My daughter went to Michigan. I was appalled about that case with the...
But, you know, quite often the girls are even afraid to tell their parents what's going on. You know,
well, because nobody believes them.
Well, that's... I don't know how you could not believe your own child.
Yes.
I don't know
the male also... is involved in this, and the parents of the males can't believe it. They lawyer up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nobody takes responsibility for what they do today.
Yeah, that's very true.
And that's a blanket generalization, but this is what is the matter. And
predominantly, you're right.
Yeah, right. Like this gun control. Gun carry law that the supremacist court struck down is going to be very dangerous. I tell you, if you allow people to just walk the streets of New York with guns, which they probably do now, many.
They probably do.
Going to be worse. People lose tempers when they get into arguments in bars. If they're armed, they could pull out a gun and shoot somebody. Because
and they
drunk.
Did. You know, look at what they did up in Buffalo. They killed, 10 people?
Mm.
For what? What was the reason? They didn't like waiting in line?
How can you kill
somebody
you do not even know? That is just like hunting. Hunting is exerting your power to kill a defenseless animal. You wouldn't tackle that animal barehanded.
No. Well,
and,
it's a real
hunters, I'm not disparaging hunters. I'm just saying there is a segment
with a submachine gun.
Yeah.
Is there any joy in taking a submachine gun and shooting an animal to death?
I've never shot an animal, if you must know,
even with one bullet or with 100. It makes no sense to me. You know, I'm not in the slaughter business.
Well, I shot a frog because he was just sitting there with a BB gun, and I've regretted that to this day.
Well, I know. I remember once accidentally stepping on a cockroach of all things, and I said, hey, it's a living thing. I'm not looking to infest my home in any way, shape, or form, but I certainly don't need to kill these things. It just doesn't make any sense. Also, what are we going to do about, we ended up having an author write something about gay rights, and so it's very, very interesting because at the end, people would comment and they would say things like, well, it's an abomination of all three religions, blah, 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 all the Abrahamic religions. And I don't understand, like, are you going to forsake your own son because you're straight and he's gay? Or is the mother going to forsake her son because he's gay? And then how do we define if the good Lord is the one that's the Almighty? How is it that there are different levels of a masculinity that define some people who are more masculine than others, or seemingly so, and they may have a higher testosterone level than other people, but does that make them gay or straight? And why is it that there's such What are you trying to do? I don't get it. I just don't understand the hatred. Leave them be. They are people. Aren't they human beings? Don't they deserve a right to live?
You've hit it on the head. Let people live the lives they want as long as they don't affect yours. What does it matter?
Yeah, but they don't affect. If someone would
they don't.
I could be their friend. They could be my friend. I don't have to engage in their lifestyle, do I? I don't think that's a prerequisite.
No,
so
certainly
what's
not.
What's the problem?
Well, the problem is that people who are much against gay marriage or lesbian marriage or things that are against what they believe in, say the religious right, for example, and they want, it makes them feel good if they can say that somebody else is doing the wrong thing and not being a child of God. The great thing about being an evangelical Christian is that you feel you have become the new chosen few.
More chosen than before. Yeah. So, I mean, the Jews do it, the Christians do it, the Muslims do it, and the point is there's homosexuality wherever you go, including in animals. And so the question is, why is it that we believe in God for everything else, but we don't believe that God had something to do with the outcome of these children that grow up to be adults? That's what I don't get.
Well,
so if you abrogate God,
you might
as well abrogate God for everything.
Well, actually, I just listen to the voice of God in my head, and when I get a feeling I shouldn't do something, well, that's the voice of God. I don't.
Exactly.
And on one matter, we are overlooking the great loneliness that exists and has throughout the years. And I think what happens sometimes, say you have a very close male friend and you just all around, and then so you eventually start living together. And I think that has a great deal to do with it. Same thing with women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they hang around, and with a particular woman who's a best friend, and you fall into that you want to spend your life with them. I don't think it is a necessarily, well, I just prefer same-sex sex. There's a lot more to it than that. Same thing that the reason marriages break up is because sex, they don't have sex that often. The children come, and the couple becomes selfish with their time, and they make one person take more care of the kids. And the thing that you used to do that the other person liked, well, you don't do anymore.
Yeah,
and that's how marriages fall apart. That's how they fall apart. And then, of course, other women or other men look attractive. So that sends you into a downward spiral.
Uh-huh.
It's working on a relationship.
So what you're suggesting is that a lot of people go through a panoply of likes and dislikes for whatever the circumstances are. So I guess, can people be straight and gay at the same time?
Well, it depends on what you're looking for in companionship. I think it depends on who you're looking for in companionship.
Okay.
The people you get along with best, the person you get along with best, well, maybe that makes a better life partner than the sexual factor. Sex is a great deluder. Sex is magic.
Oh, that's true.
But you have to have more to a relationship than that. Now, I'm always suspicious of these people who claim they just have a fantastic sexual relationship and blah, blah, blah. But that's just bragging about it.
Yeah, well, unbelievable. Well,
but
John,
I mean,
it looks
so everybody
like we're
thinks, well, I
end.
Should
any
too,
last,
you know, and makes
any
you
last
unhappy.
Word
people
from you is
love
we have the
making
last
other
minutes
people
or so?
Unhappy.
Well, there's a lot of that going on.
I tell you, people have got to stop getting violent over this abortion thing, whether they're for it or against it. That does not help matters.
No, I think it's only a downward spiral. And Clarence, was it Thomas? He wants to. I don't know what sort of legislation with regard to gays. He's going to outlaw that. Everything's going to get outlawed. So I mean, does anyone feel safe?
Well,
do they have any
have
rights?
Tough time. Yeah.
And you know the worst part of all is Thomas's wife. You know, she's really a surrogate for the Trump party. She's been a promoter all these years. And, you know, if Thomas is married to her, he's going to do what she wants.
As all married men do. I mean,
yes, that's right.
And
but then you got to pick the right wife, and you got to, and or you say, see ya, it's been fun, but it's not fun anymore.
Yes, well, what has happened here, what has happened here in the Supreme Court is the failure of Biden to allow Anita Hill's witnesses back when Thomas was on being confirmed. So Biden is responsible for this guy being on the Supreme Court. He's responsible for it. He owns it.
But people like Clarence, like Thomas, a lot of them lied, you know, just to get positions. You know, you can't blame somebody. You know, he was black.
Yeah, right. The epitome of the character that Harriet Beecher Stowe created in Uncle Tom's Cabin. And
that's her
point was that to get along with the whites, you have to go along with what they want. So.
Oh, we'll have to leave it at that, John.
Now, Mr. Thomas is
Michael
basically, Mr. Thomas is now the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court because Roberts has been eunuched.
Well,
it's
a disaster because nobody knows where they stand anymore, and that's a real problem. I can't even understand it. It's gotten
so crazy.
People
now have to go out and vote. They have to vote and get rid of the scallywags. And we all know who they are.
Well, we've been saying that for years, but people don't listen and they don't get involved. So I have
no idea. Because they would rather believe
a
lie. They would rather believe the lie and believe the excuses.
That's true as well.
Because these people, both houses of Congress, leaders who would lead the country, they are like that. They will say anything to get you to vote for them. They're very good at acting, and they act well. And I never believe
anything.
John,
we're
going
to have to let you go.
Right.
So take care. Enjoy the week. All the best.
Yes.
Stay dry.
On that cheery
do.
Note, I bid you adieu and keep going. Remember, your vote
Goodbye.
Counts.
Thank
Use
you.
It. Right. Bye.
Okay. All right, let's pick up none other than Michael Edelman, Esquire. He's a national political analyst as well as a pundit and an international one as well. So good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Hi, Hezzy. How are you doing?
Thank God, okay. I'm sorry it took us so long to get off the other line. So
no, don't
I hope
worry
you're
about
well.
That. Yes?
You know, there's so much that went on, and with the Supreme Court literally getting rid of the abortion capacity for women.
Yep.
Everything's at stake now. But the thing that I find most frightening is I would never have thought that we would be undermined and by the Supreme Court of all places, and they're the ones that created a coup. And this is going to extend to other things as well. I mean, what about gay rights? What about what about sexual conduct? What about marriage? What about all these things?
Well, if you read the decision by Clarence Thomas, those things, in his opinion, should be looked at in the same manner that they looked at Roe, which is pretty scary stuff. But if you read Alito's decision, Alito says that the holding on the abortion case out of Mississippi is not be applied areas. So on the Supreme Court, there is some disagreement. The problem is that but for Donald Trump, you would not have Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, three right-wing picks recommended by the Federalist Society,
yes,
whose feet are planted firmly in 1775, you would not have them sitting on the court. And we are stuck with them because they're all young. They'll
yes,
be around
they
for 40, 50 years.
Well, that's going to wipe out all the things that people thought were part of their right as a human being. And
I
believe it's going to tear the nation apart. There won't be one nation
under
God,
you know,
indivisible.
Well, Thomas seems to be going that way. But as I just pointed out, Alito's decision is the opposite. And I would imagine, my guess would be, that something's wrong with Clarence Thomas. Because for somebody, aside from his wife, it seems to me he's trying to get back at all those liberals that he believes try to stop him from ascending to the court with the Anita Hill and all the Democrats. He's trying to get back at them through this total misinterpretation of the Constitution. This business about originalists theory is nonsense. How does anybody know what the framers would be thinking of something that didn't occur until 200 years later? Telephones, just to name a few, telephones, iPhones, technology, wiretapping, they had no idea. So when they formulated the Constitution, they were only dealing with things that they were aware of back in the late 1700s. And that's why the Constitution has to be a living, breathing document, not some originalist nonsense, because my view of what they thought and your view of what they thought might be totally different, but there's no way to know what they thought or would be.
Exactly.
So really the only way
I can't call them
the
up.
Constitution is to apply
right.
it to modern-day stuff rationally, which these guys don't want to do. They want to go back in time based on the theory that they know what the framers had in mind.
Well, what's going to happen at this point? Are we going to see people are carrying guns now? That's being permitted in a lot of states. I think they're trying in New York State to outlaw that. Are we going to see a movement
of people?
Supreme Court ruled
recently also that the restriction on carry permits was illegal in New York.
Yeah.
We license everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Driving a car, we license when you can hunt. We license when
yeah.
you can fish. We license whether
yes.
you can practice law or medicine. But when it comes to whether you can carry in public a weapon that can kill, that we can't regulate.
Yeah, that's
because
it's
again,
all crazy.
Again, the Second Amendment being totally misinterpreted. As a matter of fact, for most of the history of the United States, the Second Amendment was not interpreted as having a personal right to bear arms.
Mm-hmm.
It was interpreted as with the words of the militias.
Yes.
It was interpreted to mean that in the context of the obligation to fight in the militia, people could not be denied possess arms to join that militia. Not that they could possess
mm-hmm.
these weapons outside
mm-hmm.
of the militia. And this has been turned on its back by the NRA and by Republican conservatives who have sold the public or part of the public on the rationale that the Second Amendment means you can have a right to bear arms personally. That's not true. That's just not true.
Well, what about also the fact that we've got 50 states, some are viable, in other words, they're making money. And others are orphans, you know, and they need money. Like New York
mm-hmm.
pays for, I guess, for the welfare of Texas and certainly for Kentucky and who knows where else, because we
mm-hmm.
bring in more money than others do. Are we going to become
mm-hmm.
divided as a nation? Are we going to have the nation of Texas or the nation of Kentucky or the nation of Florida?
Well, we're divided into two. Red states and blue
uh-huh.
states. Red states are going to prevent abortions.
Abortions
are going to be illegal in half the states, and abortions
mm-hmm.
are going to be legal in the other half the states. So people that need an abortion that live in Texas are going to have to travel 1,000 miles to Illinois to get one, which means
mm-hmm.
if you're poor,
you won't be able to get it.
Black and poor, you've got no chance of getting an abortion, and that means that the chances of dying in pregnancy will skyrocket for those people
mm-hmm.
who are unable to get abortions, because these laws in most of these states have no exemptions. So if you're a 12-year-old girl and you're raped in Texas, you are forced to carry that child to term. If you are a 16-year-old whose uncle has incest, you are forced to carry that child to term.
Mm-hmm.
So before, when Roe was in effect, nobody was forced to do anything. Now, people are going to be forced to carry a baby that they don't want and that was forced upon them because these people, these Republican conservatives are religionists. They're using their religion, they're interpreting their religion to impose the morality from that interpretation on the rest of the nation.
Yeah. It's absolutely mind-boggling what's going on. I think it's like waking up and finding out that there's a new platform, and I don't know how far the Supreme Court can go. What's next on the list? How men are supposed to react?
Well, the Supreme Court,
when women who get raped and they're not even by them.
That's right. They've undermined their own credibility. And what about the fact that Gorsuch and Kavanaugh lied?
Yes.
How they regarded Roe as precedent.
Mm-hmm.
Kavanaugh said it was precedent on precedent.
Yeah.
Here he goes. First opportunity. So Chief Justice tried to the middle ground and not overturn Roe. You know, there were two decisions. One was 6-3. That was the Mississippi law that upheld
mm-hmm.
the right of Mississippi to prohibit abortions, and I think it was 12 weeks or 10 weeks, whatever it was. And then there was the next vote on Roe v. Wade. So
unbelievable.
Kavanaugh lied. Justice Roberts with the four, not the five. So they needed one vote to go the other way. Well, you know, Thomas
mm-hmm.
wasn't going to be that vote, but
no.
and Barrett wasn't going to be that vote because
no.
she was
mm-hmm.
a member of a cult
right.
at one point in her life. They had to drag her out of a cult, so she's a whack job. But Gorsuch and Kavanaugh both gave their word that they respected precedent. This is a 50-year precedent that not only has stood for 50 years, but has been upheld in other cases as well. Double precedent. And they still decided to overrule it, to overturn it.
Yeah, absolutely. So where do we go from here? Is the nation literally in shock at the moment? Are we going to have demonstrations all over the country? I don't know. What's the responsibility of women? What's the responsibility of men? What's the responsibility of our politicians?
Well, our politicians are really in red states are going to do what red state voters want them to do. Anti-abortion, this anti-abortion platform emerged in the 1970s when Ronald Reagan was seeking the Republican nomination, and guys like Pat Robertson and Billy Graham were using this as a political bludgeon. Abortion was never part of American politics before then. There was no, it wasn't a political issue. It was an issue between a person and his God or a person and their doctor. But the religious right, the evangelical right, made this into a political football and turned the Reagan revolution on its head because he was pro-life. Probably the first president to acknowledge the same, and so was, for that matter, H.W. Bush. Although the Bush family historically gave money to Planned Parenthood, they were not.
Yeah.
But he knew he had to be pro-life to get the Republican and conservative nods. And then you had Bill Clinton, who was a Democrat, and then back to Bush, who was pro-life again. Linking it to his belief in Jesus Christ, and then Obama, and now we got Donald Trump. And Donald Trump, all his life, was a pro-choice guy. until he recognized that in order to win the White House, he had to have the base of the Republican Party. And so he promised to appoint pro-life judges that would overturn Roe. And he did. And that's what happens when you elect a guy like Donald Trump.
Well, since Roe has been overturned, and there probably will be other laws that will also be overturned as we move forward, because these guys are not going away, and they're still going to be on the Supreme Court. So they're going to be promoting all kinds of new legislation and getting rid of others. They politicized, and so it's politics that now rules. Is it conceivable that we're going to be why would a state like New York want to fill the gap, assuming people could come to New York, if they could travel to New York by bus or whatever, to get an abortion here? Is this going to cause a lot of the population to just decide, you know, I'm not going to be living in Texas any longer. I'm going to move up to New York where I feel it's safe.
I don't think people are going to move their residence because they might get an abortion in the future. I don't see that happening. But I do see people that need an abortion being helped out by not-for-profit corporations who will get contributions like Planned Parenthood and stuff to get people to be able to travel that allows an abortion.
Mm-hmm. How is it that this sort of law could be expunged after 50 years and so many people feel so secure? Why did they feel secure?
Well, you ask me, how is it? How is it? Because the Supreme Court is populated
fluid.
By extremists. Mm-hmm. By extremists.
Right.
And that's what happens when you allow a guy like Donald Trump to inhabit the presidency. We're in a situation where 30% of America is controlling the agenda in this country. 30%.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because 70%
right.
want safe abortions.
Correct.
All right, the other 30% doesn't. That's the religious right. But because of the way the Electoral College is, and because of the by 2030, I believe, 30% of a nation will elect 70% of the United States Senate.
Wow.
Because each of the small states has the same senators that the large states have. So
exactly.
New York with 26 million people gets two senators, but Wyoming with 800,000 people gets two senators.
Exactly. So where do we go from here? Or are just people going to be licking their wounds and there'll be nothing they can do?
Well, I have a different take on it. No, I don't think it's a lick the wound situation. I think this is the situation of the dog catching the car.
Uh-huh.
This has been 45 years of right-wing Republicans, religious-based Republicans, screaming about abortion. Now they got their way. But here's the problem. Most of the nation is not fine with this. Most of the nation views this as an attack on women. Most of the nation is scared to death that the Supreme Court will go even farther, as you said in your opening comments.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, the notion that Republicans will retake the House of Representatives in the midterms and will retake the Senate is now on the table for discussion, because it may very well be that Democrats and suburban independents and suburban women Republicans will vote for a Democrat.
Mm-hmm. So you think that even Republican women
will
consider going to the other side? Because they're concerned about their own life and their own
Well, they're also
daughters.
Concerned about the direction. They're concerned about the direction of the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Unbelievable.
And I also think, by the way, that this is going to affect the presidential election.
Oh, I would think so.
Because if the Supreme Court does anything with marriage equality or contraception, I think that's one step too far.
Huh. Well, it looks like they want to outlaw homosexuality, as if you can outlaw that. Marriage.
That's exactly right. Same-sex marriage. So they're going to push back the clock. But it's always been about reactionaries. It's never been about conservatives. It's about radical reactionaries and religionists controlling the agenda. They do what they do on their religion.
But how is it that 30% of the country were able to push their agenda, even though it may have taken 45 or 50 years to get there, and now all of a sudden things have turned? Because it wasn't an election. It was just that, you know, Thomas decided this was the way he was going to go, and he pushed
it
through.
Wasn't Thomas. It wasn't Thomas. This was an Alito. This was an Alito draft opinion. And Thomas ended up writing the opinion. This was Alito's draft.
Yes. Oh, it was his draft, but it was...
Thomas has always believed
that,
but Alito drafted
Okay.
What does that tell you? That tells you that they were waiting.
Yeah, they were.
For Ruth Bader Ginsburg to pass
away. Mm-hmm.
And Mitch McConnell, who didn't even hold a hearing on Merrick Garland. They were planning this social coup, what this is, and they pulled it off, unlike Donald Trump, who could not pull off the coup d'etat, as the hearing showed, which we should discuss.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump tried to manufacture lists of delegates from the swing state that he lost, which were illegal. And he tried to get the Justice Department by removing, which he did not do, but the plan was to remove Rosen as acting attorney general and put in a guy by the name of Jeff Clark, who was an environmental lawyer who had no knowledge of criminal law, no knowledge of how to run the Justice Department, but agreed with Trump that there was fraud, even though the attorney general, Bill Barr, said there was no fraud. And but for the fact that that hundreds of people in the Justice Department would have resigned had he gone ahead with the plan to put Jeff Clark in charge, but for that, there might have been a coup. There might have been a successful attempt to manufacture these delegate lists, which were not certified. But Mike Pence stood up and read the certified list off. Donald Trump, however, knew he lost the election, and he conspired to overturn the election. And he should be...
Well, Pence is definitely the hero. Go ahead.
60% of the nation thinks Donald Trump should be charged criminally.
Yes. And are people demonizing Pence, do you know? Or is he sort of just doing the right thing?
No, he's doing the right thing, and most people agree that he did the right thing under a lot of pressure, by the way.
Absolutely.
Not only was he under a lot of
pressure,
he was under threat of death.
Absolutely.
He and his family, because they were all there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And he nevertheless did the right thing. That doesn't mean that Donald Trump is not responsible for the attempt. Well, most people – and wait a minute. We're not through the hearings yet. We haven't heard all the evidence. We've heard plenty of evidence. And by the way, everybody testifying is a Republican, including the guy from Arizona, Rusty Bowers, who said, Trump asked me to violate my oath, and I will not do it.
Yeah.
These
are Republicans. I never realized.
No, not one Democrat.
Yeah, I never realized how fragile the whole operation is. I don't know, I can't compare how it is in other countries. You know, how is it in England or in Germany or in Israel or in Argentina in comparison? But there's so much faith that you place in the American system, and it fell apart. And it's amazing because Trump could have conceivably been able to get it. Say that again?
The American system has a flaw.
Yeah.
The flaw is the attempt back in the day to give smaller states the same power as larger states.
Yes.
May have worked back then because there weren't a lot of people here anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Now California's got 28 million. New York's got 26 million. They got four senators.
Yeah.
Wyoming, Kentucky, Nebraska, blah, blah, blah. They have a couple of million people. They got eight senators. So
yes,
that's the flaw. And that translates into the Electoral College.
Mm-hmm.
The way presidents are elected. So you can be a minority. Look at Joe Biden got almost 10 million more votes than Trump, and he barely won.
Barely, exactly.
That doesn't happen in England in a parliamentary system
where no, not at all.
Each member of parliament represents about the same number of people, and you've got to put a majority of parliament together. Each party does, and there can be votes of no confidence and all the rest. That's, I think, a far more stable form of government, in my view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Makes sense. Definitely makes sense. Oh, God. You think we're going to survive?
It's a lot more fun because you got a queen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they all love her. And already her son is creating problems, accepting money.
Charles would be best. Charles would be best to skip the kingship and let his kid do it.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, so do you think we'll survive this, or is this going to be a very tumultuous last years of my life, whether it be 5 years or 20 years? This is going to be tough. I don't think it's going to be easy on anybody.
This is enough to make me move to Italy.
It's a good place to go.
Well, you don't have any of this nonsense.
Well, that's very sure. That's very much for sure. Unbelievable. Portugal is beautiful. So is Italy. Stay away from Venice. Just visit because they're getting flooded all the time.
Well, Venice, you get flooded. No, I wouldn't live in Venice, but you could live on the Amalfi Coast.
Yes, absolutely. It's a good place.
Right.
Well,
you could live on
very,
the south.
Very, very good.
In Marbella in Spain. I like Marbella.
Yeah,
lovely.
Marbella is beautiful too.
Yep.
I like Portugal more than I liked Spain. Well, the food's similar, but I just thought that the Portuguese were just, I don't know, more sympathetic, more easygoing. They're both beautiful people. They're really wonderful.
I just have one question.
You have to go and visit.
If the plural of in Portugal, if people are generally referred to as Portuguese, is one of them a Portuguese?
I don't think so, but I wouldn't even try that.
I don't think so either.
Well, thank you very much, as always. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Thanks for all your input.
Thank you.
Michael Edelman, what a pleasure. Be well. Bye. All right. Well, it looks like our next man is on target, and that's Executive Director of the People's Movement for Human Rights Learning, Robert Keston, the Executive Director. How are you, sir?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I think I'm holding it together. I'm just literally smacked, I think is the right term, by what happened with the Supreme Court. Everything's been thrown out the window, and it seems that every law in the last maybe 45, 50 years is going to be up for reconsideration. You know, I don't know if we can stay indivisible as one nation under God any further. You know, I'm really afraid. I don't think people have read your treatise, The People's Movement for Human Rights Learning. What happened to that?
What happened is, as you said, people don't read it, and so they don't know what it is, and they don't know what they're giving up. And there is a lot of people saying, well, you have to understand that we have our feelings about this, too, and they haven't been respected for 50 years, and now it's our turn. And it just doesn't really work that way. You don't take someone else's rights away so you feel better. And you don't take their rights because you disagree fundamentally on the policy.
Right.
Yeah.
So where did we go wrong? Where did we go
wrong?
Where
did we go wrong?
Is it
maybe the question is, did we ever go right?
I don't know. I don't know. That's really the question too. Because we've been at each other's throats for the last 45, 50 years. On such rules, they're probably going to be pushed gay rights out the window, and with the abortion rights, and now carrying guns, you know, and all kinds of other things that are going to happen. Can we survive under one nation, indivisible?
Well, we're not one.
With liberty and justice for all.
We're not one nation.
No, I think
that we have to accept that we're not one nation, and the question is, are we able to live on this planet, in this geographic area, understanding that we are vehemently opposed to each other, at least on some very fundamental grounds? And that is more the question.
Absolutely. That is the appropriate question. But will that question give us an answer where there's going to be a movement of population across the nation? Are some people going to leave one state and go to another because they feel that their rights will be protected in one state and not in another?
Well, you know, a great deal depends on what President Clarence Thomas wants to do.
Oh, really? President? Okay.
Well, he's the one who is now
setting
the agenda.
He's going to run?
No, I don't think so. He's sitting where he has more power than the president does.
Power. Absolutely, he does.
You know, he
and the one that has more power over him is his wife, good old Ginny.
That's possible.
Unbelievable.
But the point is, you know, he has been for overthrowing Roe v. Wade since way before he ever got on the bench. He has been for ridding the world of same-sex marriage and contraception and all of these other things for a long time. And he now has the power base to do it from. It's not the Roberts Court. It's the Thomas Court. People thought it might be the Alito Court or it might be the Kavanaugh Court. But it's turning very quickly into the Thomas Court. He is the focal point. His wife is heavily engaged in the political sphere. They are clearly asserting their muscle at this point, and so far, few, if any, in power have challenged them in theirs. And that remains the question is, are we a nation of laws? Are we a nation of representative government? And if those, if that is the case, then we have to assert that. But right now it would seem that we very well may not be what we pretend to be or what we say we are. And that is always a huge danger because we're living under preconceived notions that are not true. And certainly nowhere in the equation does actual human rights or human rights values come into play, because right now it's a mad race for power, and we see that with the election, where groups that are being attacked by one side are looking to use those attacks as fundraising tools, not necessarily organizing tools, but fundraising mm-hmm. tools to enhance their organizations rather
yeah.
than lay out a strategic plan for how everybody has to come together and face this challenge. And the challenge is going to get greater as we get closer and closer to November, not less.
Yeah, but have our politicians been exact and clear with the direction, or they seem to have a different language that can say absolutely nothing, and yet people are mesmerized because they opened their mouth and said something, and they just mention a subject. They don't even tell you where they stand, and when push comes to shove, they don't act the way they claim they are going to act. So they just jettison their responsibility, and yet we vote for them. So how are we going to become educated? Because we haven't been educated for a very long time.
Well, I think
we don't know what's going on.
I think we have to get off the word educated and just look for informed. When are we going to be informed?
Okay, that's a better word.
Education has a lot of other connotations to it, but we need an informed, a well-informed electorate. We've never had one. I don't expect that we will have one now. People are angry, partly because they do not have the information they need to feel safe. They do not have the information they need in order to take action. And so, therefore, you become angry, you become scared, you become violent, you become all of those things because you don't know how to compete or to process information that you just don't understand. And so that makes things ever more dangerous on all sides because either you feel that you're winning or you feel that you're losing and you feel this is your opportunity or you feel that you're losing your opportunity. So no matter what, the stresses and tensions between citizens are growing. The divisions are growing. The comfortableness that a Clarence Thomas says what he says, and I found it quite ironic that he quickly got on the bandwagon for challenging same-sex marriage and even relations between people of the same sex. I mean, really taking it up a notch where he would like to see the sodomy laws put back into place and things of that sort. But even though a United States senator said that if you review all these things, then we must look at interracial marriage because that was also decided by the court. And that was a Republican United States senator who said that.
Mm-hmm.
And Thomas has taken complete umbrage that someone would suggest that should be called into question. So the goose and the gander are not exactly playing fairness or justice or equality.
Yeah.
They're playing for power and for keeps. And Justice Thomas really has put himself in a position, I believe, where he should be removed. And that is not going
to
happen.
Is there a mechanism?
Likely.
Is there a mechanism to remove somebody?
Yes. There is an impeachment process that has to be done by the Senate, and so that's not going to happen. But it certainly is the legal – there is legal precedent for it. But we have – our 21st century Supreme Court is more reminiscent of the Taney Court pre-Civil War than it is any other court in subsequent history. And that's shameful that we are now back to Dred Scott-like decisions rather than building a court that can be trusted by all Americans. That day is over. The Supreme Court has no value at this moment to the majority of the American public.
Well, that's because they politicized all these issues, and, you know...
That's because they've appointed politicians rather than judges.
Correct. So where are women going to sit now, whether Republican or Democrat? We're talking
They're going to sit barefoot, naked, barefoot, and in the kitchen, pregnant and in the kitchen. That's
really?
Where they want them. That's where they're going to put them. Gays and lesbians will have to go back in the closet, and it will be a white man land-owning country once again, Christian country once again.
And women
Which
are
means,
going to take that lying down? I don't know women like that.
You don't have to know them like that. The point is, what options will they have when they have no rights? Yes, they can protest,
yeah.
but just like what they did when women tried to vote when they weren't, when it wasn't the law,
right.
they put them in jail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did.
You know, and right now we're pushing the envelope as far back in our history as we possibly can. And the shame of it is that the opposition to this movement of reactionary politics cannot get itself organized. Nothing
That's
that has
I don't
happened,
understand.
Nothing
I don't
that
get
has
that.
Happened should be, came as a surprise.
I know.
Nothing.
They've been impotent all along.
And that's why I wonder what the hell are they doing? Well, it seems like they were waiting for people to be angry enough to mobilize them rather than preparing for the organization that needed to come. And so you
mm-hmm.
listen to these politicians ranting and raving and screaming, I've been for choice my entire career.
Yeah.
I've been for
right.
gay rights my entire career. Okay,
mm-hmm.
but you didn't do anything with the lead up
exactly.
to what's happening now. And unfortunately,
exactly.
the same is true for a lot of the organizations that are supposedly the very foundations of these activities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, they screamed and they yelled and they asked for money. But where are the national coalitions? Where are the national alliances? Where are they?
They don't seem to exist. I don't see them either.
I mean, and that doesn't mean that they don't exist. It means that if they do exist, they're not very effective. And if they don't
exactly,
exist,
they're not.
Shame on us. Because certainly, certainly the extremists on the right, if we even want to call it right, have been, if nothing, organized and focused on exactly what it is that they want, and they're doing it one step at a time: guns, abortion,
mm-hmm.
and then
yeah.
LGBTQ rights. They've made
mm-hmm.
it very clear. This is what we're doing.
It's absolutely,
this is the order. We've
yeah.
we've taken over the court system, so your days are numbered at least legally. That is if
mm-hmm.
that is if we respect the decisions of the Supreme Court. Now, if we don't respect the decisions of the Supreme Court, then how much of a country is left? But, and then I go back again, Lincoln ignored certain decisions by the court when he was president during the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
He may have agreed with the court after, he may not have. But when the decisions were made, he ignored them. Because he knew that the court
mm-hmm.
by itself could not enforce them. And the court understands that. So the court is playing to a very specific market, a market
right.
that believes in states' rights.
Mm-hmm.
And there are governors who believe, like Florida and Texas and
yeah.
a host of others, that believe in absolute states' rights. And this is, once again, as far as my understanding goes, a misreading of the United States Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And you heard it all over the news the other day or so, the South Dakota
yeah.
governor who said, nope, this,
mm-hmm.
these rights belong to the states. It says in the Constitution that we ascribe these to the federal government and the rest goes to the states. What she left out, the states and the people.
Correct.
This is a government of, by, and for the people. It is not a government of states. It is not a government of states. And that's what's being ignored, because the governor doesn't have power over the people. The governor has power over the state apparatus. And so they want total control. They want to abridge the rights of their citizens, and they want to be dictators. And right now, we are letting them just roll over us, and we're playing dead like possums. And unless we do something about it, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what we can do about it, but we don't have someone like a Lincoln that's going to say, "Well, I'm not going to pay attention to all these things." And Supreme Court, they can try to get their guns and ammunition, but there are only a few of them, so we can make sure that they can't even get out of the out of Washington D.C. So you don't have to pay attention. But what's the nation going to do? Are we going to? Is our population going to move from one state to the other? Are we going to have a nation called Texas? Will we have a state called Florida? Not a state, but a country called Florida? What's going to happen to the country?
The country is going in the direction that it's going in. It's fracturing. And these power brokers, governors in select states, will take whatever power they can and use it accordingly. They are fracturing the nation.
What about all the women? The 51% of the population are women. They're gays. I don't know what the population is of gays across the country. But this population, aren't they going to take a position, or is it impossible? The atmosphere in the country is so difficult that nobody is willing to open their mouth. They're afraid.
Well, I think there clearly are people opening their mouths. Not enough people to do anything. The media, as I've complained before, in their attempts at fairness and their attempts of explaining things out of context, leads us astray, continues to lead us astray. So we don't have that many options. Will women historically have voted against their best interests? Women have not supported women. It's only a recent thing where women have elected other women to represent them. And you have to remember that there are significant numbers of women who are anti-choice and anti-women's rights.
Yes.
They use their religion as a justification for those behaviors. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, we know from presidential voting, the majority of people based on population in total are opposed to what is happening. But we also know that those people are largely on the coasts.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's 7 million more people or 8 million more people or 6 million more people. And when it comes down to choice, you know, it's over 56-58% of the population believe that they should have left Roe. And it's in those kinds of numbers that believe that same-sex marriage is okay. But you've got people in select states who help control the balance of power, because every state, regardless of its size, whether it's Wyoming or Texas, has two senators.
Two votes.
And when you have two senators from Wyoming and two senators from Texas, that means people in Texas don't count very much.
Yeah, exactly.
People in California don't count very much.
No, they don't. So, but when you have places like California and you have places like New York, a lot of the money that gets divided in the nation comes from states like that are doing very, very well. Who's going to support the likes of a Texas or a Florida or Alabama or Idaho? Where's the money going to come for these people to live their lifestyle the way they want?
Well, it depends on
what
they
don't have the money
York,
to do it.
Well, it depends what New York and New Jersey and Connecticut and California decide to do. And right now we have not seen a consortium of the pay-in states starting to talk about what they're going to do. Biden hasn't called a meeting of the governors of the states that pay more in taxes than they get back. So there's a lot that needs to happen, and demonstrated leadership at this point is what people are hoping for. But as of this moment...
Well, we have to wait for him to come out from Europe. He's right in Europe right now.
Well, you know, he should be able to walk and chew gum at the same time.
I think you're right, but I didn't want to go there. But you're right.
You know, just at this point, at this point, we are so fractured, and the pain that people are feeling is so great that it is an imperative that the president, the vice president, the United States elected officials at the federal level, as well as all 50 governors, stand up and be accounted.
Exactly.
And they're politicians. And what was great back in 1860 was, although Lincoln was a politician and he bit his tongue much of the time, he made it very clear where he stood.
Yeah.
The others, each side read into what he said and heard what they wanted to hear. But he wasn't afraid of taking action when it was required. And he did.
Right.
His predecessor, Mr. Buchanan, could not get himself to move. And he watched South Carolina leave the Union. And he could do nothing. He just felt that the Constitution prohibited him from doing anything, whereas Lincoln made it clear that he swore an oath to uphold the nation. And that meant one nation, and that was his job. And he swore an oath to uphold that, and he said the Confederates did not. So his obligation was to hold the nation together. And right now, I don't think we have anybody of that kind of conviction, that kind of moral temperament to move forward. When you say to somebody that we understand you're so opposed to a woman's right to choose that you will take it away from all those women who have had it for 50 years to please yourself, then we have a problem. No one... Yeah. Who supports abortion is telling anybody to have one. No one.
Exactly.
But everyone who is opposed is telling people not to. And now it's gotten to the point where there is, if the mother's life is at stake, if it's rape, if it's incest, no options.
No options.
So women are no longer equal citizens in this country. They're just not. And we know that the same will be true for the LGBTQ community going forward. They
what
will
I
not
don't understand,
be...
too, is women have been almost like raised in a subservient way, unfortunately, because I guess it's a male-dominated society, and most societies are that way. But then when it comes to gays, whether it be fathers, you know, trying to ostracize their sons, or mothers trying to ostracize their daughters. How do you forsake your own child and you spew all this venom because they happen to be gay? And yet the good Lord decided to make people, if you believe in God, then he makes people with different levels of, I don't know, testosterone and estrogen. So some seem to be more feminine than others, and some seem to be more male than others. Who's to make a judgment call? Where is the hatred
coming
from?
Whole thing is that it's when religious leaders are politicians, and politicians present themselves as religious leaders, that you get these dichotomies. Because if in all of these books, supposedly by God, tell you that God made everyone in his own image, then everybody is and everyone is the child of God, then there can be no excuse for the behavior of ostracizing or ejecting anybody from the family of God.
Exactly.
So it's an illegitimate argument. But it is a legitimate argument when you're looking at making a power play. And those who use those power plays understand that you divide to conquer.
Why does that work? Why does that work better than simply saying,
people
God created us all equal?
Informed. And it's easier to scare people, and it's easier to convince people that they will lose something if they don't come out against it, than that they will gain something by being supportive. Everybody is convinced that there are limits on goodness, there are limits on wealth, there are limits on food, there are limits on air, there are limits on housing, and if I give it to that person, if they get equal rights with me, I will be the one to lose my house, my car, my job. For what? For that person? For that person who doesn't even believe the same things as me? No way. And that's the world we live in. One of greed, one of selfishness that is promoted by the very people we look to for leadership.
My God, that sounds like an epitaph. We're not changing. That's the problem. It doesn't seem to be an evolution of, I don't know, of knowledge that, we're not informed and we don't have knowledge and we're lacking. I don't get it. You would think after millennia we would have grown up a little bit more.
And in some ways we have. We have women in the United States Senate. We have a woman vice president. We had a black black president.
We have
airplanes. We came up with a shot, in record time to challenge a global pandemic. We have television. We have the internet. We've made so much progress. We can put someone on the moon. We can put someone 20,000 leagues under the sea. There are many things that we have done and continue to do. But there will always be those who seek power and wealth at the expense of others. And they will spend all of their time and resources to divide us and to scare us and to challenge our worst instincts. And that, because it is so ingrained in who we are, in our DNA, is very hard to overcome unless government and the social fabric of our world work together to bring everybody along and tell them that it's just simply not true. And that's where we have failed. We have failed in providing a comfortable, safe zone where human dignity is respected. And because of that, by challenging your humanity, your dignity, I feel that I am taking a step up rather than we can take that step up together, because there's enough for everyone.
You know, it's so funny. I'm not the most sophisticated person in the world. I'm not the biggest slouch either. But, you know, I feel comfortable knowing that there are people who know more than I, that are quicker at the draw, you know, and I celebrate them. I don't feel challenged by that. Why don't we have that anymore? Is that mom and dad, you know, may they rest in peace. They raised me that way. So I don't get it. I just don't see it. I don't see why the animosity.
The animosity is simply because people are afraid. And maybe you had a good formative education and enough of a moral background that your parents gave you that said the first thing that's important is that you treat others as you yourself would like to be treated.
That's exactly right.
And that is, I would say that a majority of people have those feelings. They don't always execute them, but they know.
But they have it.
Intuitively. Yeah. And they know intuitively that it's correct.
Yes.
But when you scare people enough, when you convince them that the limited resources are not in their favor, they will panic. And when people panic, you get all of these kinds of behaviors that demonstrate me first. Where in the Bible, where in the Bible does it say that only rich people are loved by God? Nowhere.
No, nowhere. Nowhere.
But yet there are these ministers with these mega churches that have their own planes and their own Rolls Royces and their own collection of Rolex watches. And they tell their supporters that if you believe as much as I do, you will have the same rewards that I have. They know that's not true.
Right.
So how much of God is in them and in their mission? Zero. But their followers are so desperate for hope that they'll believe anything these people say because they need it to be true. Why do people buy lottery tickets? Not because they're supporting education in their state. They're buying a lottery ticket because they believe someone has to win. Maybe it will be me.
Exactly.
And that's why Las Vegas is so successful. And that's why gambling is such a pariah on our society. Because people want what they don't have, want to take the easy way out to get it, and are fearful and hateful that someone else will get it first.
Yeah, and leave nothing for them. Wow. Unbelievable.
And that's what it comes to, and that's what it comes down to.
Well, I'm glad we spent this half hour because I think we resolved a lot of issues. I'm totally flummoxed by how we got here. But I know basically how we got here. It's just I never expected that things would turn upside down literally overnight. And it's only going to get worse, which is very, very frightening. I can't imagine how a lot of people will get by.
It will certainly get worse before it gets better. That you can be sure of.
Yeah.
And you can follow Justice Thomas to see just how bad it will get. And you can listen to the likes of Ted Cruz and some of the others to see just how bad it will get. But they can taste the blood in the water. And
yep, they can.
And they don't see anything as powerful on the other side trying to stop them.
Well, that's the other thing, too. Why is it that the Democrats seem to be, I don't know, they just don't seem to have the cunning to, you know, just to point out that people aren't doing the right thing for them or for anybody.
No, they point that out. They point that out. They point that out.
You think
they're just not, I think that they point it out, but what the Democrats do not, because the Democrats tried to color within the lines. They tried to stay in the lines as much as humanly possible, even when they see that there are no lines left.
So that's
and
their form of civility?
And the other side, Mitch McConnell, as a perfect example, you're not getting a Supreme Court nominee. Period. End of discussion. and I'm going to take three.
Mm-hmm.
You are not going to get that person to work at the White House. Move on. Democrats don't usually do that. Republicans.
Why?
Why?
Well,
because
why?
It's really
don't they
out.
See their illusion?
Because it's outside the rules, and they are very uncomfortable breaking those rules.
Yeah, but
and
you're
public,
floundering.
Floundering is too kind. But when they don't feel that the public is united enough behind them, and that is the problem. And that is, as
well,
we've discussed many times before.
Isn't their job is to coalesce a concept so that we can be with them?
One would hope. But their fear of losing is usually the premonition of the fact that they will lose. And 2022
mm-hmm.
could be a bloodbath, and with it our democracy, and we will be able to blame the other side as much as our own for this happening because we don't have a Joan of Arc. We don't have an Abraham Lincoln. We don't have a Martin Luther King at this moment. And
mm-hmm.
without that kind of demonstrated leadership, it's hard to support people because you
we
just...
We have a Robert Keston. Don't laugh.
You need an awful big platform, and you need a media willing to hoist that flag in order to make it happen. And there's really a short window of opportunity right now to see the changes that need to come forth in order for us to save this country.
Wow. It seems like a humongous job, and nobody's ready for it.
That is for sure.
It's as if we didn't realize that a car has been, being driven at 90 miles an hour for a very long time, and it's now here. Unbelievable. People are going to get run over. Wow. Well, there's a lot to think about. Well, as usual, you totally stumped me. But you've instilled a sense of urgency and a sense of being informed, which is really important. So thank you for that. Just have
My
a great
pleasure.
Week. I hope to speak to you in a couple of weeks. All the best.
I'm sure we will. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye. Oh, it doesn't get better than a Robert Keston. My goodness. A brilliant, brilliant man. Unbelievable knowledge base. I don't know where he went to school, but it hardly matters. He's just so aware. It's absolutely mind-boggling. Well, there are a lot of other things that we're going to need to look at for very quickly, so we don't have too much time. One thing is, where is it here? One moment here. Where am I? One second. Almost there. Okay, this was very, very interesting. Because of the Ukraine war, evidently Germans are in fear that for the end of their prosperity. Seems that the war in Ukraine and inflation have Germans concerned about their living standard. And those who have the least are likely to suffer the most, which is typical everywhere. Stroll through Berlin's most Instagrammable neighborhoods, and you might not know that inflation is rising, costs are soaring, and the largest war in Europe since World War II is unfolding just two borders over. Bars and restaurants are packed and lines for clubs are long as locals and tourists alike make the most of the summer months. Well, real prices for leisure activities and goods are up, but orders of avocado toast and artisanal bread do not seem to be down. And that is partly due to income, with the higher earners who tend to consume these kinds of commodities able or willing to absorb the few euros more that many businesses have tacked onto sales this year. So the price of everything has gone up. Stephanie Lynch, a barista at Blaue Bohne, that's a coffee roaster, in Berlin's popular Friedrichshain neighborhood. And literally everything we use here, the price has gone up, the paper cups, the cardboard, the bags we use to put the coffee into, everything. After years of holding prices steady, Lynch said the cafe did one round of price hikes to reflect earlier interruptions to supply chains, such as pandemic restrictions, a bad coffee crop in Brazil, and last year's days-long blockage of the Suez Canal. Another increase may be necessary soon, she added, as a result of a worrying wave of economic data, though many customers seem ready to shell out more dough for the same beans. Well, inflation is running at nearly 8% compared to the same time last year. According to Germany's Federal Statistics Office, consumer energy and food prices are up more than 38% and 11% for food prices, that's respectively. And that may be manageable for drinkers of small batch roasted espresso, but the lower you go on the income ladder, the harder it is to keep up. Of course, the consequences of the current crisis are directly felt. Markus Grabka, a senior researcher at the German Institute for Economic Research, said low-income households are, for example, harder hit by rising energy costs than those with middle or higher incomes, end quote. So the food staples, cooking oil, flour, meat, milk, and eggs are all up by high double digits. In all, food costs may be $263 more per person this year, according to a study by the Allianz Trade and Insurer Company. The added burden is heavier on those who already struggle to make ends meet, and more than 560,000 retirees in Germany need a government top-up because their pensions are too low to get them over the poverty line. Rising food and energy costs take an even bigger bite out of their already smaller pie. Homeowners and mortgages. It seems that only 42% of people in Germany own their homes. Inflation has further dashed hopes of home ownership as central banks rush to raise interest rates in an effort to rein in prices. A housing crisis was already gripping many parts of Germany, but those who did manage to find something to buy were often rewarded with ultra-low interest rates, an era of nearly free debt, which pushed mortgages to 1% or lower, appears to be over. In just the last few months, interest on home loans has jumped to over 3%, the highest in a decade, according to a mortgage advisor, Interhip, and a further rise is expected. And that adds tens or even hundreds of thousands of euros to a buyer's costs over the course of paying back the bank. So it's a perfect storm. The historic cross-the-board price spiral is the culmination of a cascade of events that upended assumptions about the free flow of trade around the world. The COVID-19 pandemic caused a mismatch between supply and demand. In an unprecedented intervention, governments and central banks rallied to protect people from the economic shock of nationwide shutdowns. The lack of parts has not only been a problem for global giants producing cars and high-end smart devices, but for local and small business owners too. Bike shops in Berlin, for example, have turned away customers due to out-of-stock essentials, and repairs that typically take a day or so can stretch for weeks, or they wait on orders to arrive. In global supply chains, we're still catching up when the world's biggest wheat exporter, Russia, invaded the world's fifth biggest, Ukraine, and that has left grocery store shelves empty of flour and oil, which Ukraine also exports on a large scale. Meanwhile, disruptions to gas and crude supplies have shattered energy markets, which in turn add costs to everything that fuel goes into, from production to transport. And Germany has just triggered the second of its three-phase emergency gas plan, a historic first, which could lead to restricted industrial output and yet higher prices. Well, the energy price hikes are with no end in sight. So while economists debate how high prices will go and for how long, some are optimistic that certain ones are beginning to level off. The risk remains of a delayed impact on costs and increase as increases work their way through supply chains. They affect producers and wholesalers first before passing on to retailers and consumers. And that means people may still feel the pinch even after exacerbating factors ease up. Quote, my concern is that we could have a very worrying situation in a few weeks or months, German Finance Minister Christian Lindner told the public broadcaster ZDF. We're looking for 3 to 4, maybe 5 years of shortages, and we need to find an answer for that. So those are some of the issues that are evidently quite important, that's for sure. This is very interesting. It seems that heavy weapons from Germany have arrived in Ukraine today. Ukraine said that the first delivery of German howitzers and other heavy weapons had arrived. Meanwhile, the government in Berlin published a complete list of military aid sent or pledged to Kyiv. The first delivery of heavy weapons promised by the German government had arrived in Ukraine. Ukrainian Defense Minister Oleksiy Reznikov said on Tuesday the arrival comes after repeated appeals from Kyiv for better weapons and ammunition as it seeks to hold off Russia's military offensive in eastern Ukraine. Panzerhaubitze 2000 finally is part of a Ukrainian arsenal. Self-propelled howitzers, the Panzerhaubitze 2000 or Panzer howitzers 2000, are the first heavy weapons sent by Germany to arrive in Ukraine. In May, Berlin pledged to send 7 of the artillery systems, adding to 5 howitzers promised by the Netherlands. Panzerhaubitze 2000 are some of the most powerful artillery weapons in the German military stock. The howitzers can hit targets located up to 125 miles away. Reznikov praised his German counterpart, Christine Lambrecht, the Dutch defense minister, Kaiser Ollongren, for the shipments, and Panzerhaubitze 2000 are finally part of 155-millimeter howitzer arsenal of the Ukrainian artillery, Reznikov wrote on Twitter. He called the delivery an example of international cooperation in support of Ukraine, end quote. So as the self-propelled howitzers arrived in Ukraine, the German government published its first full list showing both the equipment it said it had already sent to Ukraine and items it had pledged that were still being arranged. In addition to the recent delivery of 7 howitzers, the German Defense Ministry said it had sent 14,900 anti-tank mines, 500 Stinger air defense missiles, and 2,700 anti-aircraft missiles. In addition, Germany had supplied Ukraine with 16 million rounds of ammunition for handguns, as well as 100,000 hand grenades, to name only some of the most notable entries on the list. Under non-lethal supplies, Germany has already provided materials including, but not limited to, 175 vehicles, including trucks, buses, and off-road vehicles, 23,000 combat helmets, and 10,000 sleeping bags, and 1,200 hospital beds, and on 100 tents. So we'll have to see where all that goes. So on top of that, the government's list also included weapons and ammunition that Germany has pledged to Ukraine, but are in the process of being delivered. The list of weapons to be delivered included 30 Gepard or Cheetah. Gepard is Cheetah in German, tanks, and 3 multiple rocket launchers. Now, Russia's invasion of Ukraine at the end of February prompted urgent appeals for military aid. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz's government has made a major turnaround with Berlin's historic opposition to sending lethal weapons to active conflict zones, but has been criticized for not doing so more quickly. Berlin was initially hesitant to pledge heavy weapons deliveries, at first offering to send non-lethal weapons such as combat helmets. Following the German government's policy reversal and pledge to support Ukraine with more modern weapon systems, Ukraine repeatedly complained about the amount of time it took for the weapons to arrive. Well, the German government defended the delays, but saying it needed to ensure that Ukrainian troops received training on the new weapon system and that defense industry protocols need to be radically changed to accommodate the deliveries. Well, Ukraine's government has appealed to Western allies for more weapons to bolster its Soviet-era arsenal. Kyiv said it would need 1,000 howitzers, 500 tanks, and 1,000 drones to help stave off Russian troops. Well, Scholz says that the arms delivery is the right decision. Scholz told members of his Social Democratic Party, the SPD, that the decision to supply German weapons to Ukraine was the right decision. This is necessary now, Scholz said. It was the right thing to decide now and in this situation. He also told lawmakers that the German public supported the decision. Scholz said that Russia must end the war and stressed Ukraine's right to exist. Everything we do is aimed at that, he said. So we're just going to have to see where all this leads and where it's going to go. So that'll be something to think about, that's for sure. Now, 1 second here. One moment here. Interestingly enough, Russia faces a possible debt default as the payment deadline expires. It seems that Moscow has failed to meet a deadline for over $40 billion in outstanding debts as Western sanctions squeeze the Russian economy. The Kremlin has downplayed the news, insisting it has enough to pay what it owes. Russia was set to fall into its first state of sovereign default in over a century on Monday after a grace period following a deadline to pay interest on some $40 billion in outstanding bonds lapsed the day before. The Kremlin, for its part, has said the default label is artificial as it has the funds to pay its debt but is unable to access its foreign reserves due to Western sanctions. Statements of a default are absolutely unjustified, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said on Monday in a call with reporters, saying the money was with financial agents Euroclear. The fact that Euroclear withheld this money and did not bring it to the recipient is not our problem. There are absolutely no grounds to call such a situation a default, Peskov had said. There is money and there is also the readiness to pay. Russian Finance Minister Anton Siluanov said last month of the looming default, calling the situation artificially created by unfriendly powers. Well, the default state is also unlikely to affect the lives of ordinary Russians already struggling with soaring inflation and steep economic recession. Despite this, the default status is likely to dissuade investors even further from bringing any money into Russia, which has become a political and financial outcast since its invasion of Ukraine in February. It will also raise Moscow's borrowing costs in the future. Under normal circumstances, investors and the defaulting government typically reach a settlement in which bondholders are given new bonds that are worth less, but that at least provide partial compensation. But sanctions forbid negotiation or negotiating with the Russian finance ministry. With no end to the war in sight, there is no way to say how much the defaulted bonds will end up being worth. Well, last Wednesday, Russian President Vladimir Putin signed a decree to launch temporary protection procedures and give the government 10 days to choose banks to handle payments under a new scheme, suggesting that Moscow plans to pay bondholders back in rubles, regardless of what currency the debt is owed in. And analysts have said the default, while problematic for the Kremlin, is unlikely to wreak havoc on global markets. Kristalina Georgieva, the managing director of the International Monetary Fund, has called the event not systemically relevant. Well, the turn of events will likely mean serious losses for any international businesses left engaging with the Russian economy, such as funds that invest in emerging markets. Russia, however, played a small role in emerging market bond indexes before the war, limiting the loss to fund investors. And Russia has not been in a state of default since the 1917 revolution that created the Soviet Union. Although the breakup of the Soviet Union in the 1990s brought it close to default, international aid, particularly from the United States, was able to help Moscow avert total financial disaster. So that's the story there. And time for us, basically, 1 second. So it's time for us to say goodbye, and thank you for being with us, that's for sure. And let me just quickly see if there's anything that I missed in the last 3 minutes that I could tell you about. I think we're fine. Oh, this was interesting, though. A Ukrainian by the name of Serhiy Zadan wins the German Peace Prize. Ukrainian writer, a poet, and musician Serhiy Zadan has won the 2022 Peace Prize of the German Book Trade for documenting the struggles of his compatriots caught up in a brutal war. The German Publishers and Booksellers Association has awarded the 2022 Peace Prize of the German Book Trade to Ukrainian writer Serhiy Zadan. Quote, "We honor this Ukrainian author and musician for his outstanding artistic work, as well as for his unequivocal humanitarian stance, which repeatedly motivates him to risk his own life to help people affected by war and thus to call greater attention to their plight," said the award's jury. In his novels, essays, poems, and lyrics, Zadan has especially reflected on Russia's initial invasion of eastern Ukraine in 2014, depicting how ongoing war has destroyed people's lives in the region. He employs both a poetic and radical tone to also reflect on, quote, "how the people of Ukraine defy the violence around them, striving instead to lead independent lives rooted in peace and freedom," the jury added. So that's basically it. That's the gist of it. And we're down to the last few seconds. So I want to thank you for being with us, all our guests, of course, from Robert Keston, of course, Michael Edelman Esquire, and John Bailey. And there we are. And tomorrow's another day. So hopefully you'll join us then. Take care and be well. Goodbye.